The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello. This is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the December 2024 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we're going to go right to Who's Who. Third line, page 8. Jaron Duren, Boston Red Sox outfielder. His height is 6'2". His weight is 205 pounds. He was born September 5th, 1996, hometown, Buena Park, California. Duren made his first All-Star team in 2024. A season in which he hit .285 and topped the American League in doubles 48 and triples 14. He had a WAR of 8.7, including a defensive WAR of 2.5, which was the third highest in the league. Duren also stole 34 bases in 41 attempts. But did you know Duren was the first player since 1970 to lead his league in doubles and triples? Only 10 other players have done that, including Stan Musial, who accomplished that feat four times. Dejonne Carrington, Connecticut Sun guard. Her height is 5'11". She was born January 8, 1999. Her hometown, San Diego, California. Happy birthday, Dejonne. Carrington was named the WNBA's most improved player in 2024, a season in which she averaged a career-best 12.7 points per game. She was a member of the league's all-defensive team as the Sun advanced to the WNBA semifinals, where they lost to the Lynx. Did you know? Carrington has signed to play in unrivaled, a three-on-three league that was formed by WNBA stars Nafisha Collier and Brianna Stewart that will begin play in January 2025. Kirill Kaprizov, Minnesota Wild left wing. His height is 5'10". His weight is 202 pounds. He was born April 26, 1997, hometown, Novokuznetsk, Russia. A fifth-round draft pick in 2015, Kaprizov didn't make his Wild debut until 2020, but he was worth the wait, winning the NHL Rookie of the Year award. Last season, Kaprizov made his third straight All-Star team, and he began 2024-2025 with 18 points in his first nine games. Did you know, though, Kaprizov won a gold medal representing Olympic athletes from Russia, since the country's official Olympic committee was banned from the 2018 Games for a doping scandal? Take a chance on a QB vet? The time for false modesty has passed. I'm 12 years old, and I know basically everything. And you're what, 11? You look 11, though you might be a tall 10. And surely you know a lot. You've been reading my columns. So you think that by the time quarterbacks reach the NFL at the age of 22, they too must know everything about playing their position. Alas, lately they seem to know almost nothing at all. As a viral tweet in October noted, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Will Levis, Kenny Pickett, Anthony Richardson, Bryce Young, and Zach Wilson were riding the bench at the same time, despite all being top prospects in their mid-20s. As this group of young guns floundered, who were the best passers in the league? Old stalwarts like Aaron Rodgers and Matthew Stafford? Hardly. The NFL's top quarterbacks have emerged from the previous generation of so-called busts. Sam Darnold, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, and Geno Smith. They're each making the most of a second or more often fourth chance In fantasy football, this group would be called post-hype sleepers, guys that can be acquired cheaply because they already disappointed someone else. Post-hype sleeper sounds to me like a nap you take after drinking 15 Capri Suns, but the concept is real. Some other team invested top picks in these guys and hyped them up as the faces of their franchises. Then, after those franchises gave up on them, other teams found their quarterbacks on the cheap. So, what are we to make of this redeemed team of comeback kids? Is being a QB so hard that a player needs to bounce around for 8 years before he masters throwing the ball with touch? Instant successes like C.J. Stroud would seemingly disagree. Maybe there are just enough C.J. Strouds, generational talents, to keep coaches and GMs eagerly drafting QBs too high and then giving up on them too early. I have a different theory, and it relates to me knowing everything. NFL offenses have gotten more complex over the years, and defenses have kept pace. A football genius like me may be able to recognize different coverages and formation from my couch, but a modern quarterback needs to see different looks multiple times before he can identify them in the seconds before a snap. And nothing motivates someone to learn defenses more than a few years losing to them. As the greatest coach of all time, Yoda, once told me over his over-the-hill students, the greatest teacher failure is. There's statistical evidence that these guys are thinking the game at a high level. Among the also-rans who are running the league, Goff led the NFL in completion percentage, 74.9, through the season's first 9 weeks. Also in the top 10 were Mayfield, 71.1, number 4, and Darnold, 69.5, number 8. Those numbers suggest three guys adept at taking what the defense is giving them. They also hint at another possible reason for these mid-career renaissances. The NFL has become a league of the check-down pass. The average yard per catch has hovered around 10.9 for the past three seasons. The first three times it has been below 11. 20 years ago, the savvy veteran game manager was considered an inferior QB archetype to the gunslinger. These days, there's a lot more to running an offense than throwing deep. Or maybe the explanation is simpler still. Darnold and Smith were both drafted by the Jets. Mayfield started out on the Browns, the Jets of the Midwest. Maybe these passers were always every bit the talents their draft position suggested, and they just needed a few years to get over the experience of playing in New York. Okay, I don't know everything, but I know this. Life gets better for quarterbacks after leaving the Jets. So hang in there, Zach Wilson. The same name game. Back in October, a Colorado Avalanche forward made his NHL debut, joining an elite group of players who can say that they played professional hockey at the highest level. But the young man also joined an even smaller group of pro athletes, those whose first and last names are the same. Congratulations, Ivan Ivan. He joined the ranks of players such as Phoenix Suns center Bol Bol and former Portuguese soccer star Andre Andre, but not Chicago Cubs Hall of Famer Billy Williams, whose given name is not William Williams. No, the man who hit 426 home runs was dubbed Billy at birth. The phenomenon is not limited to athletes in North America. Former Manchester United defenders Gary and Phil Neville don't fit the bill, but their dad, a former cricket player, did. Which is why United fans used to sing, Neville, Neville, they're in defense. Neville, Neville, their future's immense. Neville, Neville, they ain't half bad. Neville, Neville, the name of their dad. Bol was named after his great-grandfather, a chief of the Dinka people in South Sudan. Ivan, on the other hand, got his name to eliminate confusion. My dad's name is Marek, and his last name is Ivan. Ivan explained earlier this year. Since Marek and Ivan are both first names, people were always wondering whether his name was Marek or Ivan, so he made it easier for me. And the winners are superlatives. The end of the year is upon us, which means it's time to hand out awards for superlative performances from 2024. The envelopes, please. Blob of the Year. Entering their June 12 game, the Mets were a dismal 28-37. That night, the first pitch was thrown out by the McDonald's mascot, Grimace. New York won that night, and the next night. The Mets wound up winning 7 in a row following the amorphous creature's pitch and went 61-36 after his appearance, good enough to secure a wild card spot. Head Scratcher of the Year. Yankees manager Aaron Boone took exception to a narrative surrounding Cleveland's Jose Ramirez. If I hear another case of how underappreciated, underrated he is from somebody on TV, I want to rip my arm off and throw it at the TV, Boone said. Nice, but if he's torn off his arms, how can he throw them at the screen? Crime of the Year. Approximately 19,000 bobbleheads featuring a likeness of hockey star Jaromir Jagr were stolen and ultimately recovered in March when thieves posing as truckers took them from a warehouse. Goat Games on fire. Dodgers slugger Shohei Ohtani gave us the greatest baseball performance ever. What are the other best outings? Oh my, Ohtani. Los Angeles Dodgers versus Miami Marlins. As the 2024 season wound up, Dodgers slugger Shohei Ohtani was closing in on becoming the first player in Major League history to hit 50 homers and steal 50 bases in the same season. With 10 games left, Ohtani was sitting on 48 homers and 49 steals. He seemed like a good bet to make it, but nothing is certain in baseball. Except, as it turned out, Ohtani doing amazing things. He got to 50 stolen bases by doubling and swiping third base in the first inning against the Marlins. He followed that up with homers in the sixth and seventh to get to 50, then added another in the ninth for good measure. And those came after he had singled and doubled twice. So the final tally, with all eyes on him, 6 hits, 6 trips to the plate, with 3 homers and 17 total bases. His teammate Gavin Lux summed it up, "That has to be the greatest baseball game of all time. I've never seen anybody do that, even in Little League." Lloyd leaps ahead. 2015 World Cup Final. There's no bigger stage in soccer than a World Cup Final. Prior to 2015, no player had ever scored 3 goals in a game that decided the women's tournament. Carly Lloyd of the United States changed that, and she did it pretty quickly. She scored against Japan in the 3rd minute and then added another 2 minutes later. She completed her hat trick in the 16th minute, the fastest in World Cup history, with an audacious goal scored from the halfway ice line, icing the game for the United States, which won 5-2. January 22, 2006. One-man show. Los Angeles Lakers versus Toronto Raptors. Sure, Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points in a game in 1962, a nice round number that has never been equaled. But he did it at a time when defense was virtually non-existent. In the 1961-62 season, teams averaged 118 points per game. Wilt's 100 came in a 169-147 win. In 2005 and 2006, on the other hand, teams were scoring 97 points per game. That makes Kobe Bryant's 81 point outburst against the Raptors in a 122-104 win even more impressive. Wilt scored 31.6% of the total points in his game. Kobe, meanwhile, scored 35.8%. Nice shot. Montreal Canadiens versus New York Islanders. A goalie's job is to keep the puck out of his team's net. Montreal's Jose Theodore did just that, stopping all 32 shots he faced. A goalie's job is not to shoot the puck into the opponent's net. Theodore did that anyway. After the Islanders pulled their goaltender for an extra attack in the last seconds of the game, Theodore launched the puck the length of the ice and into the net, giving Montreal a 3-0 lead. "I wasn't trying to score," he said. "I was just trying to flip the puck out of our zone." Nonetheless, he became just the fifth goalie to score on a direct shot in an NHL game. Triple duty. Washington versus Detroit Lions, November 14, 1943. As groundbreaking as he is, Shohei Ohtani was not the sports world's first two-way superstar. Back in 1943, which many football players competed on both sides of the ball, Washington's Sammy Baugh had a day that will likely never be replicated. In a 42-20 win over the Lions, he threw four touchdown passes on offense and intercepted four more on defense. He also showed he was a three-way star when he booted an 81-yard punt on special teams. Not a bad day for the Hall of Famer, who led the NFL that season in completions, interceptions, and punting average. He's a handful. June 22, 1986. Argentina versus England. England and Argentina have long had a fierce soccer rivalry, which became even more intense after the countries went to war in 1982. 4 years later, they met in the World Cup quarterfinals, and Diego Maradona put on a master class. The Argentina midfielder scored both goals in a 2-1 win. The first came after his hand hit the ball. The controversial goal was dubbed the Hand of God. The second came at the end of a dynamic run through the England defense, a score that was later voted FIFA's goal of the century. Argentina would go on to win the cup against West Germany. January 2, 1968. The Big E, Houston versus UCLA. In January 1968, UCLA didn't just seem unbeatable. The Bruins were unbeatable. They entered four showdown with a Houston riding a 47-game winning streak. That was almost 2 years old. But Cougars center Elvin Hayes scored 39 points, including the go-ahead free throws with 28 seconds left, despite playing most of the second half in danger of fouling out, to lead the number two Cougars to a 71-69 win. The contest became known as the Game of the Century, meaning Hayes put up a performance for all time. September 5th, 2023. Well-rounded. Connecticut Sun versus Los Angeles Sparks. There have been 42 triple-doubles in WNBA history, and Alyssa Thomas has 15 of them. Arguably, the best of that list came against Los Angeles when the Sun forward had 27 points, 14 rebounds, and 12 assists. What's more, Thomas shot 78.6% from the floor, the best percentage for a player in a triple-double with more than five field goal attempts. She also had six steals. No other player has ever had more than four steals in a triple-double. Thomas did, however, missed two of her seven free throws attempts. Oh, well, no one's perfect. Art Attack. LeBron Drawn. In last issue's Art Attack, we asked three professional artists to draw LeBron James in their own unique style. You submitted your own bronze in response, and we reassembled our Art Attack artists to geek out over your work. Spotlight LeBron. "I tried to capture LeBron's dominance," says Wilton, who spent 5 hours creating this powerful portrait. "What I love about drawing is that you can do whatever you want." He backs it up, too. Check out his abstract self-portrait on the left. Wow, so cool. Putting his head right in front of the shattered backboard shows an advanced understanding of facial points and compositions. That's Victor Bizarre Gomez, Art Attack artist. Posterized by Samuel, age 11, California. Samuel created this eye-popping piece digitally, although he still prefers drawing on paper. I use an iPad because it has an undo button, more brushes, and you can have multiple layers, he says. He designed the title like graffiti, an art style he recently started experimenting with. Wow, Samuel, there is such a powerful drawing. I love how you chose a flat black background to make LeBron's iconic dunk. The bright colors and his tattoos stand out even more. It's an impressive way to frame your subject just like a true pro. That's from Violetta Encarnacion, Art Attack artist. I Won't Shut Up and Dribble by Matthew, age 11, from Virginia. I want to feel like I can talk about issues I care about and that are important to me, says Matthew. LeBron has shown that everyone has the right to speak out about things they believe or support. Matthew from Virginia, powerful both in presence and message. This speaks to a battle many ignore. I love how you develop the skin tone and textures, and the message going into his jersey is very clever. Brilliant work. This is from Chris Visions, Art Attack artist. Four quarters of LeBron. Wow, this is the work of a true conceptual illustrator. Way to think outside the box to capture the passage of time and portray a multifaceted LeBron, rich with history and depth of character. Miles submitted not one but three takes on King James, each unique. I am most proud of GOAT-minded because it tells his stories by showing the silhouettes of important people in his life, from his mom, kids, and wife, to important teammates from throughout his career. It also includes the skyline of his hometown in the background. All Hail the King, Colin 13, Colorado. Fire LeBron, Liam 11, Maryland. And the King, Benjamin 9, Arkansas. And by Miles, age 13, Alabama. GOAT-minded. King LeBron, Luke 12, from Connecticut. Phenomenal work, Luke. Your colors make the piece kinetic and vibrantly move in my mind. It's giving me Boscott feel, whose work I love. This piece shows you hold a lot of fun and makes it enjoyable to look at. And the shoes. Comic LeBron, Bode, 13, Maine. Fantastic way to show LeBron's entire career. Hawk, it isn't easy to draw a player in motion, but you did it three times to show that it's no sweat for you. Way to flex on us. That's from Victor Bizarre and Gomez, an Art Attack artist. Pick a winner by Hawk 11, Oregon. Hawk drew this triple LeBron with inspiration from last issue. I like The King's Roar by Victor Bizarre Gomez because I kept finding new things in the drawing, which made me want to keep looking. By capturing all three eras side by side, Hawk made what's called a triptych. The twins have been looking out for each other and their older brother since birth, and they'll continue their journey together at Duke. Cameron and Caden Boozer, basketball. Ever since they came into the world in July 2007, twins Cameron and Caden Boozer have lived by a simple credo. The idea of I am my brother's keeper pretty much defines our family. Their mother, Cece, says that's who they've been since they were born, blessed to be able to take care of their brother. Their brother, Carmani, who is older by a little more than a year, was born with a sickle cell anemia and serious blood disorder. A doctor told Cece and her then husband, NBA All-Star Carlos Boozer, that the best course of action was to give Carmani a bone marrow transplant. The ideal donor, they were told, was a sibling. So a few months after the twins were born, Carmani was able to undergo a transplant. He's now healthy and a member of the baseball team at the University of Fort Lauderdale, while Cameron and King grew up to become five-star basketball recruits who announced in October they would attend Duke next fall. Pictures of the duo on page 49. Continuing, CeCe was intent on the boys forming their own identities, not just as more than the son of an NBA star, but more than the Boozer twins. They tried out soccer, baseball, football, even ice hockey, so basketball wasn't a fait accompli. And while Cameron and Caden were always on the same team, they were largely inseparable. CeCe made sure they weren't the twins in matching outfits that got grouped together into one. They fought for their identity their entire life, CeCe says. Even though they did everything together, I made sure they were both allowed to be their own person. That individuality was especially important to Cameron and Caden as their basketball careers started to take off, and they really took off. Quiet dominance. The one thing that's hard to find on the Boozer twins' loaded basketball resume is losses. The brothers have won three straight state championships at Christopher Columbus High in Miami, a school that never had won one before they arrived. They've led their AAU program to championships at many large tournaments. Cameron and Caden each have two gold medals from playing with USA Basketball. The idea of I am my brother's keeper defines their family. That's who they've been since they were born. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.